All right, here we go. We are back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Top of the hour, 8:02 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody out there listening on 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. And everybody watching across the world on our YouTube channel and on X, on Facebook. Be sure to go hit that like and subscribe button on our Facebook page and hit that, like and follow button on our Facebook page and hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel, man. It's so much. I'm naming X, Instagram, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever the case may be. Just follow us on all of that stuff, man. Listen, we're not hard to find. The Jaguar Journal is pretty easy. All right, talking about March Madness, I just talked about the impact that McNeese State had on in terms of winning in the NCAA tournament. Now let's look at Southern University. Let's take a step back as I get into the groove of things this morning of women's basketball. Reached out to Coach Carlos Funches. Of course, they had a late game last night, so I'll try to get him on next week. But Southern wins the SWAC tournament last week and win the SWAC tournament championship. Had Santoria Black come on, and we recapped the tournament leading up into the championship. It was Alcorn State versus Southern in the SWAC championship on the women's side, and Southern goes in and gets the job done, 64-44 of Alcorn State. Alcorn, for the second consecutive year, have found themselves in the SWAC championship tournament game, and for Southern, for the second time in 3 years, have found themselves winners of the SWAC tournament championship game as they represented the conference in the NCAA tournament. Let's look back and look at Southern versus Alcorn for the SWAC tournament championship in that game. Southern shot 21 of 54 for 38%, 6 of 19 from the three-point line, shooting 31%, and a very good day at the free throw line, shooting the best that I've seen in some time, 16 of 17 for 94%. They defense clamped down on Alcorn. Alcorn could not do much, as Alcorn shot 16 of 45 in that ball game for 35%. They were 4 of 18 from the three-point line, shooting 22%, and 8 of 11 from the free-throw line, shooting 72%. Southern out-rebound Alcorn in that championship game, 34 rebounds to 29. Those 24 rebounds for Southern defensively, and that's another 10 offensively to get them that 34 rebounds on the game. And Southern wins the championship. You know, all I kept hearing was, well, do you know what SWAC stands for? SWAC, Southern wins another championship. And congratulations to Coach Carlos Funches and the Southern University women's basketball team for winning their second championship in 3 years. And this year made it a lot more special because they were the SWAC regular season champion and then went on to win the SWAC tournament as the number one seed. Coach Funches gets it done. Then we go to Selection Sunday. We're all at TJ Ribs. We're all waiting to see where the Jags are going to head. And they put them in the first 16 game against the University of California, San Diego. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw this game, I've always been iffy with our matchups against these types of teams. And when I say these types of teams, when you look at them, they mirror us in so much more, in so many ways. But it's what do we do with the adjustment and the coaching and the players that we have in order to go out. The last time against Sacred Heart, I thought Southern was the better team in that NCAA first 16 game in. But Sacred Heart came out and did what they needed to do. They made the adjustments. They hit on all cylinders. And they got the victory over Southern, which I was a little embarrassed behind that because I knew in my heart of hearts Southern was the better team. So coming into this one, I kind of was holding on to that a little bit. I'm like, man, I feel like Southern is the better team because what I've seen them do defensively this year. Southern's defense, man, locked down. Let's look at this game against UC San Diego. First time I had heard of them, once again, I got them confused with San Diego State. Here we go once those NCAA tournament moments where you see a team, you say, well, who the hell is that? I ain't know who UC San Diego was. I had them confused with San Diego State. That's what happens. I'm not in that region of the country. I don't watch UC San Diego basketball often, do you? Hell no, you don't. You found out about them just like me with both teams in the NCAA tournament. But I'm pretty sure it's the same way for them. Who is Southern? Where's Southern at? You know, that's how they get when they talk about us. And it's not the Jaguar. They call us the Jaguars. We're the Jaguars. The Southern Jaguars. They do us any kind of way on television. But I'm here to clarify the Southern Jaguar. And I'm pretty sure they're asking who the hell is Southern. I wish our website would have crashed from all of the people inquiring about us. But listen, a proud Jaguar right here. And I have to say congratulations to Coach Carlos Funches as Southern University women's basketball team went into the NCAA tournament. And I don't think anybody really gave them a chance, regardless if it was two 16 seeds. It's just always a little stigma that they have. That's an HBCU. I don't know. And you can hear where the broadcast is, how they talk up the other team so much more. I hear it. It don't get past me. But Southern goes out on the women's side and win their first ever NCAA tournament basketball game. Coach Funches wins his first NCAA tournament game as a coach and his staff. Congratulations to them. And a hell of a game in this one, man. What they were raining threes in the first half. 68-56 over UC San Diego. In this one, Southern shoots 25 of 51, shooting 49%. 6 of 10 from the three-point line. And at one time, they were 4 of 4 from three-point in the first half, shooting 60%. They were 12 of 16 from the free-throw line, shooting 75%. On the other side for UC San Diego, they were 21 of 61, shooting 34%. Tough day shooting the three for them. Pretty much shot themselves out of this game. But had they connected on half of these, man, you're talking about a different ball game. 9 of 26 from the three-point line, shooting 34%. And they were 5 of 6 from the free-throw line, shooting 83%. Southern with the rebounds, second-chance points in this one. 36 rebounds to UC San Diego's 29 rebounds. Very impressed with Southern in this ball game. Turned a lot of heads. Now, the second half, they went away from shooting the threes. They forced the issue. But nonetheless, they doubled down on defense. And they won their first NCAA tournament game in school history. Exciting moment for me watching this. I was at a bar. I made them turn every TV on in there. We supporting Southern now. We're going to watch Southern. Is it LSU? No, it is not. But so what? Let's not look down. I'm just surprised it wasn't that many watch parties around Baton Rouge and all over the place. I'm really surprised. I didn't see a lot of watch party advertisement. And right, I had to ask for the remote where I was at. Look, let me change the channel. And everybody then began to tune in. That's how you brand. That's how you market. We got to push that envelope where we are to let people know. Don't overlook Southern. Oftentimes, I feel like we do get overlooked. Like, we're counted out. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, Southern. But we got to create that pride and then push that pride out to the community and to the world out there to let them know we are Southern. That's right. You damn right. And we support. We don't shy away because you feel a certain name, it seems to be bigger or in your mind better. No, we should not shy away from that. And for me last night, a late game, 9 o'clock tip off Central Standard Time. It was 7 o'clock on the West Coast. Southern took on the number one seed UCLA Bruins. This is when you don't shy away. You don't care about the name of the other school. You care about the support that you have for your school. Hey, I had it last night for UCLA. Listen, you started to see the separation of what it takes to be a good team and an elite team last night. UCLA gets it done as the number one seed as they defeat number 16 seed Southern, 84-46. Southern shoots 19 of 60 in this one for 31%, 2 of 15 from the three-pointer. You see how it go on that threes. It's good, and sometimes it's not. You live by the three, and you can die by the three. But they were in desperation mode last night. 2 of 15 from the three-point line, shooting 13%. 6 of 11 from the free-throw line, shooting 54%. On the other side for UCLA, who made their night at the free-throw line, they were 26 of 47, shooting from the field for 55%. 9 of 20 from the three-point line, shooting 45%, and 23 of 30 from the free throw line, shooting 76%. They out-rebounded Southern, 44 rebounds to 23, 35 rebounds defensively, 9 offensively. On the other side for Southern, 14 defensively, 9 offensively. Looking at these teams, now listen, us about what and what when you see San Diego when you look at the size comparison. Southern just had a few more ballers than what UC San Diego had to rely on in pretty much two players. Southern is a physical team that plays defense, and Southern's defense gave UCLA fits in that first half. Southern slowed the game down and forced UCLA to go to the free throw line. UCLA did knock down some crucial threes when they needed it, but you saw the difference between good and elite. Elite is the size. UCLA is long. They're lanky. They're going to force you to have to shoot from the perimeter. It is tough to get inside on them. And more importantly, it's tough to get second chance shots. Southern was getting them. Southern would have to get more efficient offensively. The looks were there last night. If they knocked down about five or six of those shots that they completely just missed under the goal, you're talking about a different ball game at halftime. And I'm just giving you from my observation, the opportunities was there nonetheless. They were there for the Jaguars last night. And Southern's defense forced UCLA to work hard. Did anybody watch the interview before halftime of the UCLA young lady? She was breathing as hard as she could. Southern was making them work. This was no easy game. This was no slouch early on. But you got to make the layups. You got to get the rebounds. You got to take advantage of the opportunities because, listen, when you play teams like UCLA and those elite teams, because, once again, there's a difference between good and an elite, and you saw it, you have to take every opportunity, advantage of every opportunity when you get it. You have to. And you saw the difference in last night's game as UCLA was able to pull away. They knocked down the shots when they needed. Big three here. Layup there. Second chance shot here. But nonetheless, I got to give a shout out to Southern, man. You played hard. You didn't go away. That defense, man. If we can add that offensive scoring power, UCLA, I'm telling you, Southern, listen. And the thing about this is, what we got to realize in every sport aside from football, we compete for national championships, not SWAC championships. I want to say that again, and I want to say that across the entire landscape, SWAC, MEAC, whatever the case may be. Outside of football, let's remember, we play in the field with everybody else. We compete for national championships, not just SWAC championships. We got to have our mindset and prepared that we can go play for a national championship. And, yes, SWAC championships are good to win because, yes, you're the best in your conference. Then you look beyond and say, hey, here we are on the larger scale, what we can go do. Can we turn some heads as we begin to build our profile? Congratulations to the Southern University women's basketball team on the season that they had SWAC regular season champion and SWAC tournament champion, winning their first ever game in the NCAA tournament. Hats off to Coach Carlos Funches and those young ladies and his staff. Congratulations, man. We love you. Thank you for all that you did for this year. And let's get ready to build for next year. And for me, let's get ready to take a break. And I'll be back on the other side. We're going to talk with Coach Kevin Johnson, the head basketball coach, men's side at Southern University. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back more of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. Good morning to everybody. It's 8:18 a.m. here at Central Standard Time. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White. It's the Jaguar Journal. Everybody out there listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on 107.3 FM and all of our listeners across the world watching live on our YouTube and Facebook. Good to have you guys with us. And got a very special guest here on the show. He's no stranger. We kept up with him all season and glad to have him this morning. He is the head basketball coach, men's basketball coach at Southern University. Want to welcome to the show this morning my man Coach Kevin Johnson, also known as Coach KJ. Good morning
Perry. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. It's a beautiful day. The only thing that would make it better is if we were dancing right now.
I totally understand. Let me ask, do coaches in the situation where, you know, if you don't make the turn, do you do a tournament bracket?
No, I don't. I'm too much of a fan. I enjoy these games. I love the upsets. But at one time I used to do it, but I don't do a bracket anymore.
All right, let's go back and recap the season for Southern University, man. You guys won the SWAC regular season title and then got to the SWAC tournament, and things kind of fell short. And a hell of a listen, you had me stressed out with Grambling. That ending of regulation going into overtime, it was just all over the place. And Grambling would just not go away, a team who you had beat twice in the regular season. But you guys ended the season overall 20 wins on the season, 20-12, and fall short in the quarterfinal. Congratulations, first coaches. I have an opportunity to talk to you on winning the SWAC regular season title. And let's just start there before we move on. Let's look at the regular season. You guys went out. You got a victory over Louisiana Tech and Tulsa in non-conference play. Played a tough schedule in non-conference all over the country. Then you get into conference play. You lose three games in the regular season. In the regular season, by a combined 3 points, a one-point loss to Bethune-Cookman on the road and a one-point loss back against Alabama State on the road and at home. Alabama State is the only team on the season to sweep us, and they go on to win the SWAC championship. But those three tough losses by a combined 3 points, looking back at the regular season, you still wrap it up as the regular season champs. Your evaluation on the recap of the regular season, Coach?
You know what? I'm so proud of the players for sticking together. You know, we preach connectivity, and there's no way you accomplish what we accomplished this year without them being together. It was really fun to watch. I'm so happy with my staff, the hard work, the dedication, the scouting reports, the development. I think all of that lined up to help us have a special year. And, you know, I think the way it ended was not what we wanted. But to be honest with you, that's a part of this process. When you look at the makeup of our roster, we don't have a lot of guys who had experience in tournament situations. And I'm be honest with you, I didn't like the result, but I love it because it's a setup. And if we can keep the core group of our guys back, the guys who played the majority of the minutes throughout this season, and they understand that that's a part of the process, Perry, the sky's the limit. So I feel good about where we are. And how we're going to move forward.
Then we get into the SWAC tournament, take on Grambling State. Listen, it's been tough every time Southern and Grambling. Let's just throw it all out. We know it's a rivalry game, and damn, it had to be a draw for us in the tournament. 65-62 final in overtime, Coach. You guys in this game shoot 22 of 69 for 31%, 3 of 17 from the three-point line, shooting 17%. But a perfect day from the free throw line, 15 of 15 on the other side for Grambling. They were 19 of 59, shooting 32%, 7 of 21 from the three-point line, shooting 33%. They were 20 of 26 from the free throw line, shooting 76%. Walk us back through that game, Coach. Let's go through it as we go through regulation first half, because in the first half, you guys seem to have had that game together. The second half, Grambling battled back, and then it just went into back and forth all the way through overtime.
Well, I think to start that game, we looked like a team who had some jitters, was a little nervous. We mishandled some passes. There were a couple of transition opportunities we had that we didn't capitalize on. But we were still able to go in at halftime up. And, you know, we come out in the second half and we build on that lead. And, you know, we lose the momentum. And one of the biggest momentum killers, right, in a pressure game, a tournament-type game, is to miss layups. And if you go back and look at that game, we were 15 of 35 on layups. Now, those are not uncontested. Some of those are contested, but yet plays that we should finish. And that's a momentum killer. And so we missed 20 layups in a game that we lose in overtime. And, you know, usually when you lose a close game like that, you look back at your free throws. Ah, we missed those free throws, but we were perfect from the line. But it was the layups and turnovers that killed us in that game. We had 21 turnovers in that game. That's not a Southern Jaguar basketball team. And so we kind of shot ourselves in the foot and lose that game by one possession. You know, and you know, again, regulation was tied. But again, as frustrated as we could be, and I had some players who were really down on themselves after that game. Perry, it is a part of the building process. Mm-hmm. You got to go through something if you want to get something. And so that's the message that we're going to take into postseason.
Let me ask you this. And you're talking about postseason. What happened? What was the deal with the NIT? I just, for sure, and I think many of us thought that Southern was going to make it into the NIT.
Well, you know, a few years ago, the regular season champion had an automatic bid. I really don't know why the NCAA went away from that. But there's been a couple of new developments. There's a tournament in Vegas called the Crown Tournament, which the winner gets a lucrative amount of NIL money. And the high major teams are really, if they don't make the NCAA, they're leaning towards the Crown Tournament. And I really thought that would open up a spot for us in the NIT. But disappointed that the committee didn't recognize the body of work that we put out there. Not only going through the regular season in a tough league, you know, I think people know now that the SWAC is not a low major league, but to go through and lead the league from wire to wire, and then to be recognized for some national statistics. We finished the year as number one in bench scoring in the country, and then to be in the top 10 in steals. And so, you know, to be able to accomplish some things like that against the kind of competition we played, I was a little disappointed that they didn't recognize us. But I'm not alone. I'm glad they didn't do us like South Alabama. You know, they gave South Alabama a bid and then came back and took it away. Mm. And so, you know, disappointed that we didn't get a look at that. And, you know, we got to move on for it. Can't dwell in that place. It's time to, you know, get to work this postseason and try to be better moving forward.
Now, I want to take, because I'm going to make you a broadcaster one day, right? Let's look at it from the SWAC overall standpoint, you being a coach at Alabama State, the team that swept you in the regular season, then a team that got hot and won the conference title, beating Jackson State. Your thoughts on Alabama State and watching them against St. Francis in the NCAA tournament, getting their first ever victory in a NCAA tournament?
You know what? You know, Coach Matlock did a tremendous job with his team. And Alabama State, believe it or not, was one of the teams that myself and my staff discussed coming into this season. I felt like they had something that would allow them to either win the regular season or the tournament. And this is why. Coach Matlock's in his fourth year, and he's been able to retain a core group of guys in a day where good players, they have a good year. What's the first thing you want to do? Jump in that portal.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the continuity they've had from year to year, you know, they're bound to be good. Now, were they better than us? Well, you know, that first game we played them in Montgomery, we lose by one and play our worst defensive game of the year. We give up 82 points and lose by one. Now, that game here in Baton Rouge was a tough game. It was a typical conference game and a game we should have won.
Yeah.
And probably would have won if we had the right eyes on that last play.
Them damn refs.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
But,
you know, take nothing away from them. They had a good team. They were consistent. They were very organized. They were good defensively. They were good in terms of execution. And, again, I think it's in large part because they have retained their good players.
They go in, they beat St. Francis, and, I mean, hell, it came down. This pretty much been a testament to them all year, the end of the game. When you saw that last play for them against St. Francis, was you like, hey, this is what they do when the game is on the line with a couple seconds left?
Well, Perry, I'm not going to give too many secrets away, but I would tell you this, and I think our players could learn from this because they all watch that game. And so we do game situations every day. And sometimes I think they look at me like I've lost my mind, because on game day practices, I always do the home run play. That last second play when you got to go length of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of different scenarios that we create, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they created the bunch scenario where there's a loose ball and kind of like a scrum. And so what happens is the referees will never call a foul on that play. But if you're in the right place and the ball finds you and you put it off the glass, you can win a game. And so it was amazing that I had about 8 players text me on that play and say, "Coach, I get it now. That's why we do home run." And so, again, credit to Alabama State for being organized and good enough and experienced enough to execute that play to get them a win.
Where do we go from here with Southern's basketball program? Just completed year 2. We continue to see the uptick of the program, SWAC regular season champions. And now where do we go from here going into year 3, Coach?
Well, we got to build on what we've done the last 2 years. I think coming in that first year, you know, inheriting some players that I had no idea who they were. We were able to put a team together that finished 3rd in the league. But more important than where we finished, we had to establish a culture, right? We had to make sure guys understood that the only place win comes before work is in the dictionary. So we had to create an atmosphere of work. We did that. And so this year, to be able to take a step beyond that, we had to make sure we had the right attitudes and about work. And for the most part, we did. Every day is not going to be a good day. But this group had a good attitude about working and about playing together, right? And so we have to build on that. You know, next year we need to have a team on the floor that plays just as hard, but plays where they have a sense of responsibility and a better sense of trust in each other. And I think if we do that, we can take another step. And that's exciting to me. I want to take that step.
Well, Coach, I believe in you. You know, it's more exciting for me to watch you build this thing. Just remembering year 1, having a conversation, the number one thing you told me was, we got to get a culture in here. Now you're creating that culture. Now you're starting to see it translate. And it's growing pains with any program, and we see it. But nonetheless, we know we headed in the right direction. So, Coach, man, thank you for coming on this morning. Definitely won't be the last time have you on. We'll continue to talk about it, especially if you need anything towards the program, need to be working, anything towards recruiting. I'm here to put the word out so we'll be able to talk to the people that's out there listening.
Hey, well, look, I'm going to leave you with this, Barry. The portal is hot right now. there's 287 names that are in already, and we're actively working it. And so if you know those folks who got some money that they want to contribute to the NIL, we will take it. Because as always, you want to try to improve your talent level.
That's it. That's the voice of Coach Kevin Johnson, also known as Coach KJ, Southern University head men's basketball coach. Thank you, Coach, and man, enjoy your day watching some basketball.
All right, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on.
Yes,
have
sir.
A good one,
sir. All right, have a good one. All right, let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk some football. We're going to have Southern University offensive coordinator, my man, the offensive coordinator, Coach Mark Frederick. So you guys stay tuned. Let's talk football. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys listening and watching with us. Everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM around the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Good to have you guys. Turn your radios up as we got a very good segment right here. And everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live, glad to have you guys. Be sure to go hit that subscribe button and like and following as we get into spring. Spring just started a couple days ago. So, you know, we get that term spring football. So now, y'all not going to let me live. Basketball season's over, and I don't bring any type of football news to you. So to talk Southern University football today with me and with you guys, the offensive coordinator at Southern University, my man, Coach Mark Frederick. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Perry. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Glad to be on, man. Glad to be on.
All right, let's get some football because the people fiending. They like Pookie on New Jack City. They just want a little bit more, Coach. They can't wait till the fall, and they cannot wait till they see a spring game or some type of practice. So Let's jump into it. Looking at Southern University, the offense coming back this year, you're heading into your second year as the offensive coordinator, man. You're looking at your identity of this offense, and let's just start right now with what we know. Who do we have returning so far that we know on offense coming into the spring?
Well, we return.
And we can start position, whatever position. You can move around offense, offensive line, running back, however you want to do it.
I'll start with the big guys up front. We retain every old lineman that played down the stretch last year. With the new ruling, we even got Joshua Trask back. So, you know, that's going to help at the center spot. We got the tight ends back. We got both tight ends back. And we got a young guy that's able to play this year. So he's there. That was here all last year.
You talking about Ethan Howard?
No, Hubert Kalise.
Okay.
St. Aug out of New Orleans. At the wide receiver spot, we return some guys that played, but we got some young guys in that room that we're very excited about. And we added some guys mid-year to the offense as well. We got Jalen Woods back at quarterback. He's the only returning quarterback from this past season. As we know, the other two got in the portal. And at the running back spot, we young this spring. We added a freshman from Southern Lab mid-year. He was able to graduate early in Asbury, Amari in Asbury. And so we still looking for some guys for that room. And so maybe, you know, when this portal open back up, we'll be doing some more work in the recruiting aspect, adding some more pieces to the offense.
Asbury, you know, when we was having that conversation, you have those scat backs, but he seems to be the power back.
Definitely, man. He's weighing about 217 pounds right now, so that's a plus. He's killing the off-season workouts, man, like he's already been here. And I'm excited to see what he brings this spring to the offense.
What identity for you, and, you know, not giving away too much, but every coach has an identity, particularly on the side of the ball in which they're that they want to be known and seen for. And for you, what's the identity that you are looking overall to have at Southern University offensively?
Number one, physical. We got to be physical. And that starts up front. We're taking on the identity of the head coach. We're going to be a blue-collar, hard-working team. And with that being said, so the offense got to mold into it. Now, we want to be explosive. We want to score points. But at the end of the day, when it comes time to, we want to be able to roll up our sleeves and knock people off the ball and get those hard-fought yards and score those down-the-line touchdowns. You know, when teams think the game is out of hand, you know, we want to be able to lean on people. So that's our identity. We got to go through this spring. The biggest thing is to stay healthy. We want to stay healthy. But we got to get a better understanding and better knowledge of the offense. That's the number one goal. Also, we want to cut down on the turnovers. We want to be more consistent in the passing game. And we want to get guys comfortable within the system. So that's going to be a big emphasis this spring. We'll start next Thursday. Next Thursday evening, we'll start spring ball. And I'm excited, man.
Let me ask you this. You know, we talked about the guys that's returning. Besides Asbury at the running back position, in which you were able to get him in, what do we get out of that portal coming out of December? What do we have coming into the program that we know as of now in terms of new faces?
We added a quarterback, Jamari Jones. We added three offensive linemen. We added two wide receivers on offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're here this spring, so they'll get a jump start on learning the system, as well as Asbury. Like you said, he's just a high school kid, but it's going to be exciting, man. It's going to be exciting to get these guys acclimated. They've been going through the offseason conditioning program with Coach Moore. I like what I see so far, but I'm not going to get too happy until I see it on the field.
That's right. And then as you talk about getting familiar with the playbook, that's the number one thing with guys. As much talent as you can have, they have to be focused to understand what's being called to be able to go out there and execute it, because practice makes perfect. What you do on practice is what you're going to do in the game ultimately. And I have seen you really hamper down on guys focusing and needing to focus at practice to understand what it is that you're calling, what it is that we need to go out there and execute. And that particularly starts, most importantly, with the person who's going to have the ball in their hand the most, and that's the quarterback position. Looking at Noah Biden, who is now gone, and Xavier Tisset, who is now gone, it leaves Jalen Woods. Jalen Woods is the guy that came up last on the depth chart out of the three that no one, I think, saw coming and what he was doing. But at the end of the day, he gave Southern the best opportunities in terms of the explosive plays last year when you're looking in the passing game. As you watched him mature, and especially picking up this offense later on in the season, what did you start to see about Jalen Woods that separated him from the rest of those guys?
A guy that prepared himself. He never went to practice as if, hey, I'm not going to play. He always studied the film. He prepared himself during the week as if he was the starter. And, I think that gave him the edge. Once he got his shot, he didn't look back. You know, if you look at some situations like that, take a Tom Brady, for instance. If Weston McCall never get hurt, they, you know, we wouldn't know how good Tom Brady was. So I think Jalen Woods is taking it by the horn, man, and he rolling with it. He came into the offseason with a different attitude, a different mindset. I love what I'm seeing from him. He's leading the team. I think it's going to be some great things for him.
And looking at that, because, you know, I have to talk about the quarterback the most, because Southern loves his quarterbacks with a history of great quarterbacks. And you right there leading the way with the offense, man. When you look at with Jalen, what is his attributes? What do you like about this kid? What does he bring to the quarterback position besides just, you know, being prepared? Because we know that's what starts first as the field general. But what do you like about his game?
He's smart. He's smart, and he can make them throws. He can make them throws. He's working on his agility and quickness and stuff this offseason. He'll be better, you know, as far as that go, but as far as him standing in the pocket, being able to make the throws and just commanding the offense, them guys play for him, they rally for him. So evidently he didn't earn their respect and, you know, confidence, you know, once he built his confidence up, man, he was rolling. I wish I could have had him for the championship game, but you know, that's just how I roll. But I'm excited to see what he has in store for this season.
You know, most importantly, as an offensive coordinator, man, what are you learning about yourself? You know, because we often think it's easy to just go out there and make it do what it do with what you have. But, man, if you don't have this and you don't have that, it's like cooking. You need all the right ingredients for it to come out and taste the way that you want. And we often sometimes, look, I know the women out there, they love those TikTok recipes, right? They give you all of this stuff on how to make it, and then you cook it and say, well, it don't taste like what I would have thought. That's because I can give you the ingredients, but you got to know the time. You got to know this. You got to know that. But to be the offensive coordinator, knowing with what you have, you may not have everything that you want, but you still got to make it work. What are you learning about yourself in terms of making things work with what you have?
Patience, man. Patience. Not. You know, just getting away from something because it didn't work this time. And you know, an old coach once said that, you know, hey, if you can't adjust your play calling or your scheme to the talent that you have, then you'll never be successful in this business. I don't have just no one locked system that we have to do. Whatever the talent is that we have, we're going to use it. And we're going to try to get the most out of them guys. To help, you know, to help them be productive, put them in the best position to help this team win. So, you know, I've been on a team where we scored 30 points a game. You know, like we was number one in the conference, but we didn't make it to the championship. And then on the flip side of that, this past season, we didn't score as many points as we wanted to, but we did the things necessary to win some tough games, and we made it to the championship. We came up short, but that's something to build on. Just like Coach Kazer just said, you know, I was listening to him talk. Man, he's done an excellent job from year one to year two. And so now I'm ready to see that same type of jump in this offense from year one to year two.
You know, it all starts up front in the trenches. And I was very critical early on in the season last year, but we knew we had to get that gelling for the trenches on that offensive line. And you guys ended up making some roster spots move, and it ended up starting, and you saw got better and better, because early on we couldn't even rush for 100 yards. And I'm like, hey, this is not a Southern offense I'm used to seeing. Southern, if you want to know how to run the ball, you watch Southern. And as the year went on, you start to see it open up. The offensive line became better at blocking those running backs hitting the hole. When you're looking at continuity and growing and developing the offensive line, what are the steps? And when you talk about the patience in order to get that O-line where you would like them to be up front, first, what you saying being physical?
Yeah, well, that starts in the weight room and attitude and mindset. And I think they've taken on that challenge. The guys, first of all, in my opinion, that's the hardest position to play. And, you know, that's an argument for another day, but them guys are really buying into the system, buying into what their coach is teaching them, and going forward with it. You know, to get five guys to move at one, you know, to move as one all the time, that's pretty tough. And so them guys are really spending a lot of time together with each other. They learning each other. And with that comes trust. And that's where it starts at, Perry. If them guys trust each other up front, we're going to be okay.
And, you know, and that's for the people out there that's listening, because once again, like I told Coach KJ, it's easy for us a lot of times to sit in the stands and, you know, say what I would have did or what you would have did or what anybody could have did, but that's just game day. You got to be at practice every day. You got to be in film room every day. You got to be just can't sleep because you're constantly thinking. And for a lot of us, we only look at it on Saturday more so than as the offensive coordinator. You're looking at it every single day as you're evaluating players. You're evaluating plays. You're looking against defenses, what work, what does not work. And as you move forward to this year, what would be the biggest emphasis for you? Because you got to be excited that you get Kendrick Grimes back. But what is going to be the biggest emphasis to move this offense forward better than last year?
To be honest with you, man, we did the comparison. We improved in every category by four or five slots in the conference. From 23 to 24, it was only one slot that we didn't improve in as an offense, and that was scoring offense. So I put the challenge out there when we came. Like, so once I got here last year, I pulled up the same stats. You know, you're going to judge the offense off a number.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled up the stats. We were 8 to 10 or 12 in the conference in every category on offense in 23. And to go into 24 with the challenge of, I put it on. I said, hey, man, we got to find O-line depth. And I think we answered that better. We got to improve in the passing game. I thought we improved in the passing game. We improved in the rushing game. Everything improved except scoring offense. And of course, that's my job. We got to score points to win games. So now to take that next step, that's what I want to see. I want to see us as a consistent, fluid offense. Get the playmakers the ball in space. Let them make plays. So the quarterback position has got to improve, you know, better from last year. We got to control the offense. We got to control the game. We got to help our defense out. And the way we do that is protect the football, be able to run the football, and be able to throw the football. So, yes, I want to do all of those things. I want to be scoring 50 points a game. I want to do all that. But the main goal is, at the end of the day, I want to win. And so whatever it takes for us to win, that's what we're going to do as an offense.
Let me ask you this just to clarify. Somebody saying Kendrick Grimes is leaving the pro. Is he returning? Because I know they gave him another year of eligibility. Is he returning or is he out?
Right, with the new rule, he has another year of eligibility. And if I'm not mistaken, he met with Coach Graves, and I think he's decided to go into the portal. I haven't seen nothing official yet, but I think he's going into the portal.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, because I know I said his name, and then people started, you know, saying, hey, this and that, but now y'all heard it. We're not sure. We'll figure out. Just because you put your name in the portal, we see it all the time, don't mean you're going nowhere. So.
That's true.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. But, Coach, man, thank you for coming on this morning. Listen, Don't be no stranger here to the Jaguar Journal, baby. You know, I want to talk some football with you. I be so limited on my time. But, look, we can open it up. We can talk some football here for the people because at the end of the day, I could go through all them other sports. Man, that's all they want to talk about. They want to talk about football.
I understand. But congratulations to the men and women basketball, man. Great season. That's what we want to be, Perry. We want to be swag champs. And it started already. It started when we came back to winter conditioning. So we're working towards that goal. All we need is the support. Support the kids, push them, and we're going to be there. We're going to be there.
Well, Coach, man, appreciate you for coming on, man. I'll be hitting you up here soon. You guys are going to get things going. You said started up this week. So I'll definitely be talking with you, man, and we just do some updates, get the people some opportunity to catch up with what's going on with the program so we can create some excitement going into the season. We can get those ticket sales to go up. And we could try to make sure A.W. Mumford Stadium next year with the home game lineup that we have is packed each and every Saturday, the Jaguars at home. So we got to create that culture, as we talked about before, and that excitement right here. So, Coach, thank you for coming on this morning, man.
Thank you, man. Go Jags.
Go Jags. All right. Mike, how long we have? I got time for a break? All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back and close things out. You guys stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, good morning, everybody. I'm back. I'm Perry White. It's the Jaguar Journal. Want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube at the Jaguar Journal. Be sure to follow us on X and Instagram at the Jaguar Journal _ and on our Facebook page, Jaguar Journal. Hit the like and follow button. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thank you for everybody out there listening, man. As always, it's nothing but love. And thank you for everybody that came on this morning. Coach Chris Crenshaw, the baseball coach over at Southern University. If you're in Houston this weekend, Southern Baseball taking on Prairie View. Go over there and check them out. Want to thank Coach Kevin Johnson, the basketball coach, coming on, talking to us, Southern University men's basketball coach, talking to us about the program, how the season wrapped up. Congratulations to Coach Carlos Funches and the women's basketball team getting their first ever NCAA tournament victory win and the first for the SWAC on the women's side. So, big shout out to them and my man, Coach Mark Frederick, the offensive coordinator at Southern University, coming on talking to us about football, man. Congratulations to all the teams. Hey, thank you guys, and congratulations to y'all. You may not have did nothing this morning, but if you got up and you turned on and you listened to us, congratulations to you for getting up, and thank you for checking us out, man. And once again, I'll be back next week at the same time in the same place, because always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Have a great week, everybody.